You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
Morning, everybody. I'm really excited to be here again this morning. I got to speak last year when I was home for Christmas, and I kind of was hoping I would get the opportunity to speak this time too, because God's really put some things on my heart to share with you. And but before I do that, I want to brag a little bit. Is that okay? I've been here since I was able to come home earlier this year than normal, and so I've been here for about a month, month and a half now, and it's more time than I normally spend here. And so I get to this time, I've been able to be around Mount Helena a little bit more, to see how some of the ministries work, and to even have had the opportunity a couple times to work in the office with the office staff. And I sometimes think in the Sunday to Sunday kind of routine that we go through, we don't stop often to think about all of the work that goes into what we enjoy every week. And I don't think about it either, but this last month I've had the opportunity to be part of that and to see that firsthand. And you have an incredible staff and eldership here, and they work so hard for you, and they pray for you, and they think about you, and it's incredible even just to talk with them about, you know, Kingdom of God stuff and what church should look like, and to see how connected they are with what God is doing here in Helena and what he's doing in other places. So you have a really great group of people. So this morning, I've been thinking about it, and I would like to share, you know, a little bit about what I do with Frontline, and perhaps a little bit about what he's doing in other places. But primarily this morning, my heart is to share with you what God's really been challenging me with in the last, I would say, the last year or so, and the things that he's been encouraging me with and challenging me with in regards to knowing and understanding who the Holy Spirit is in my life and how he works in missions. But first I want to pray, because he needs to help me, because I'm really shaky. So would you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share with my family and to be here with them. And I just pray, Lord, that you would open my heart and my mind to your voice, that I would have clear thinking and be able to share intelligently what you've put on my heart. And I pray that you will open the minds and the hearts of the people here, that they would be able to hear your voice and hear you teaching them through me. And in your name I pray, amen. So as Jason said, my name's Cassie, and I grew up here. I've known most of you my whole life, or at least from the moment you came here. I've been a part of Mount Helena since I was about 5 years old. And thinking back over my relationship with God and kind of how I ended up in missions, I've really grown up, I think, as a product of this house, but because of the way I was raised and this family, I grew up with a really intense desire to know God and to know him entirely, to know all of him. I know that's impossible, but that was my heart. And so when I was younger, I remember really getting to know Jesus as a person. I can remember someone, it might have even been JR in youth group, I don't remember, but someone I remember saying to make an effort, make the point of inviting Jesus into your life. So I remember doing that often. I would be driving down the road and I'd just kind of mentally picture him in my passenger seat. And I began talking to him and relating to him as my friend and as just as a man, as the person that saved my life. And so it was all, for me, a lot about Jesus when I was younger. And then a few years ago, I started growing in relationship with the Father and understanding more about who Father God is and how he loves me. And I really felt his tender care over me and his help and his healing process in my life, and got to know him more. I began journaling to him and listening for his voice. So I feel like I had a theme of knowing Jesus, and then now it's been a theme of knowing the Father and joining the mission field. I think it's almost impossible to do any work or go anywhere without seeing firsthand what the Holy Spirit is doing and how he is at work in other places. And because you see how he's working in other places and you see how he's working in other people, I began to feel this really deep desire to know who he was, to understand how he worked, and to see him, his power in my life. At the end of Mark, Jesus says that these signs will follow the believers, that we would do miracles, that we would prophesy, that we would do dangerous things and not be harmed, and that we would see the power of God in our lives. And as a missionary, I want to see that. Like, why? I want to do miracles, dang it. And I've seen them. I've seen miracles, and I've seen God do some really incredible things. But there's this yearning and desire for more. I want more of God. And I know you understand what that feels like, because I know many of you feel that way, probably all of you. There's this understanding that God is more. There's so much more than what we know. There's so much more than what we're feeling. And there's got to be another step, another place. And a lot of what Mount Helena is doing is going and finding that next step, that next place. And so I've just had that desire, but it's been kind of general, you know, like I just want the power of God in my life and I want the Holy Spirit to work through me, and just really generalized, I would say, more focused on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and just the power that comes from working with the Holy Spirit. But last year, I was talking to a friend in Brazil about the Holy Spirit, about this desire, this change, this like wanting more, and we were discussing just how the Holy Spirit was at work in Brazil at the time. And for those of you who don't know, Frontline has a school called CETRAM in Brazil where indigenous students come and they learn. It's kind of a mixture between a Bible school and like community development school. So they learn skills that they can take back to their villages to start businesses and help their communities. But they also learn who God is, what his heart is for people, what true motherhood and fatherhood looks like, that kind of stuff. Well, at this point, my friend and her husband were teaching a class on the Holy Spirit and on the kingdom of God. And they were just in awe of how the students were soaking in information about the Holy Spirit and what the reproduction of that looked like in their life. So they were beginning, many of them were beginning to speak in tongues. They were starting to pray for one another. They were starting to see healings. And they were just exploding with this wonder at who God is and who the Holy Spirit is. And I remember talking to her about it, and she said, her and her husband both, and they pointed me to this book that they had read, I was like, oh, interesting, I'll read any book about the Holy Spirit right now, I'm kind of excited about it. So it's called The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit by R.A. Torrey. It's an older book. I think it's like 99 cents on Kindle or something silly. So I got it on my phone, and it didn't take but the first chapter, not even the first chapter, the first paragraph, before God nailed my heart. And I felt like it was like a lightning rod or a lightning bolt. I felt like all of a sudden my eyes were opened, and I understood something that I hadn't before. I understood it but hadn't thought about it. And that was the idea that often as Christians we see the Holy Spirit as a power and not as a person. And how that mentality, that viewpoint of him affects everything we do and the entire way that we relate to who God is in the Trinity, in the three. And so I wanted to share with you a quote from that book, because it just like says it so much better than I ever could. So if you could pull that up. It says, "It is of the highest importance from the standpoint of worship that we decide whether the Holy Spirit is a divine person worthy of receiving our adoration, our faith, our love, our entire surrender to himself, or whether it is simply an influence emanating from God or a power or an illumination that God imparts to us. If the Holy Spirit is a person and a divine person at that, we do not know him as such, we are robbing a divine being of the worship and faith and love and surrender to himself, which is his due. It is also of the highest importance from practical standpoint that we decide whether the Holy Spirit is merely some mysterious and wonderful power that we in our weakness and ignorance are somehow to get a hold of and use. I'm so guilty of that. or whether the Holy Spirit is a real person, infinitely holy, infinitely wise, infinitely mighty, and infinitely tender, who is to get a hold of and use us. We think of the Holy Spirit as merely a power or influence, our constant thought will be, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? But if we think of him in the biblical way as a divine person, our thought will rather be, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me? So this idea of how can the Holy Spirit have more of me just like resonated in my life. Like I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I realized that so often in this yearning for more of God, for more of an understanding, for growth, for change, for movement, I had reduced the third person in the Trinity to a power. And I had spent time getting to know Jesus and picturing him in my life. I had spent time getting to know the Father and listening for his voice and having him heal my heart. But I had only really just wanted the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. Can you feel that? Have you felt that way? It was all the light bulbs went on and I was like, oh my goodness. Well then, so progressing a little bit further down, if the Holy Spirit isn't a power and he's a person, then what's he like? Who is he? What sorts of things motivate him? How does he want me to be in response to him? And that began a really long Bible study. And there's lots of scriptures that are about the Holy Spirit. But I wanted to share a couple with you. And the first is in John 14. And I chose to use the Amplified Version because it just like broadens your understanding of what particular words are in the Greek. And so it gives you like 8 words instead of 1, which I like. So I chose that. And just to give you a little context for this verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's sharing with them that he's going to have to leave soon. And that instead, he's not going to leave them by themselves, but he's going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And so it says in John 14:16-17, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. So I love this verse because it tells me about the Holy Spirit, but then it also tells me about my interaction with the Holy Spirit. So he's my helper, my comforter, my advocate, my intercessor, counselor. He's my strengthener and my standby. And he will be with me forever. And not just with me as in next to me, but with me as in me. It says he will be in me. And when I was growing up at Mount Helena, many of you who were here back in the day remember the renewal. And how the Holy Spirit just kind of like fell on everybody, kind of like rain, and people were knocked out, and it was crazy. And I, because of that experience growing up, I knew who the Holy Spirit, or at least I thought I did, what the Holy Spirit was like growing up. And it was normal for me. I mean, I would come, we would have children's church in the back, and we'd come up to the service on a Friday night, and my mom would be on the floor, just out, slobbering, crying, praying, worshiping, I don't really know. But I would sit next to her with a bottom box of Kleenex and wait patiently for the Holy Spirit to be done, doing whatever the Holy Spirit was doing so that we could get on with life. That has nothing to do with anything. It's just funny. But so, and true. So I knew that the Holy Spirit had massive implications in our life. And I knew that he was in me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit really young, I think like 7 or 8 years old. And I knew what the gifts of the Holy Spirit were at a young age. But I think even though you know something when you're small and you know something all along, there comes a time when you just need to remember and reconnect with that idea. And so for me, it's a reconnecting with the idea that God is in me. In me. Like the guy who created the world is in me. And he will always be with me and I'm never alone. And further down in John 14, he talks about the helper again. The helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you to remember everything that I have told you. So this verse is so exciting to me because he teaches me and he helps me remember and I'm not alone. And it reminded me of JR's message last week. It was so cool because I've been thinking about this for weeks. But when JR spoke, and he spoke about sacrifice, and he spoke about stories of people around the world who are giving everything they have for God and everything they have to see his kingdom advance, and kind of gave us a challenge of, okay, so we are part of that. We have to sacrifice our self-will and our selfishness to God as well. We give it all. We're living sacrifices, like it says in Romans. And those kinds of words are really exciting and encouraging to me, but they also are very heavy. Because for me, I'm very much a, well, let's get it done. What's the first thing I need to do, and then the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing? I want to know how to do it. And so when you talk about sacrificing your selfishness to God, and selfishness is, I feel like, sometimes 90 to 99.9% of who I am, the idea that I need to sacrifice it is huge. It's overwhelming. It's more than I can do. But with a Holy Spirit who's inside of me and teaching me and helping me, it's possible. Everything is possible. It's not only possible to die to my selfishness, but it's possible to move to somewhere else and start a church randomly because that's what I feel like the Holy Spirit has called me to do. Or to, you know, start just even as simple as volunteering in the children's ministry. It's possible because the Holy Spirit asked me to do it and he said he'd be with me. So the next scripture I wanted to share with you is in Romans. And it says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He helps us in our weaknesses. Not just in giving it all and sacrificing it all, but in everything, in every weakness. And no matter what we're going through, no matter how deep of a heart cry we have with God, he's there interceding for us. He knows what we're going through. He knows me in every moment, which is kind of an elementary idea, but it's also huge for me, that he would know every moment what's going on in my life and that he would be there with me, praying with me. And even when I don't have the words for what I'm going through and I don't have the words for where I'm at, he's there and he has the words. Or sometimes he doesn't. It says he groans. So too deep for words. And so I just have been so in awe of this idea that, and the excitement behind the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to do what God has asked us to do, and the power that he gives us to go through our lives with victory. You know? He's there. It's just so exciting to me. And when I think of sacrifice, I think, you know, some people tell me, oh, you're a missionary, you sacrifice. Not really. Actually, I won the lottery in the job department. And I get to do what I really like to do all the time. So it's not really a sacrifice at all. If that was a secret, I'm sorry. But one of the people in my life that I really see as sacrificing, it's actually not any of the Americans I know. I'm sorry. But most of the people that I, when I think of sacrifice, I think of my friend Alex and his wife Lolina. And they just got married in February. They moved to a tiny community in the middle of nowhere. And he had to start working, doing refrigeration and working on machines so that he could support his wife and so he could reach a tribe, an unreached tribe nearby. And this tribe has been through so many things. They have been oppressed. They have been killed. They've had massacres. They are, like, just, I don't know. It's just an incredible testimony to what is awful about the government sometimes, but also what God can do. So God sent, he gave Alex this heart, this desire to go to these people, and I won't use their names because he shouldn't be there, But he gave him the desire to go to these people. He can't live with them. And he can't even talk about Christianity as Christianity. Because this tribe, the government has told this tribe that Christians are there to change and ruin their culture. And then if you let the Christians in, they will ruin everything. And everything they stand for is wrong, including God and Jesus and all of that. And so when Alex started going to these people, he didn't go as a missionary. He didn't even go as a Christian. He went as someone from the school, and he said that he was going to share with them about the science of God, about the great creator and the science of God. Well, for that tribe, the government, as our government does too, science is really awesome. It's a really great thing. It's life. And so when he told them that he was going to tell them about the science of God, they got all excited, and they listened. And slowly, people have been coming to faith in that tribe, but they still don't want anything to do with the Christian church. They don't want anything to do with other tribes that have Christian churches, that have denominations and things that are a part of it. They want Alex to work with them. And so he goes every so often. In fact, recently I talked to him on the phone, and he said he was going to go again sometime in this window. He said he had the opportunity. It would be about now. It was like a week ago until a week from now. He was going to maybe be there. And it's all if he gets the money and if he's able to go and all this stuff. And he's amazing. His vision is amazing. But the sacrifice, I think, is in his wife. Because she just got married February. And she's pregnant. And they're having a baby in February. And he leaves a lot. And she has been willing to lay down what she would need and what she would want. And even possibly some of the easily accessible things like, you know, having a refrigerator or being able to have concrete floors so that you can keep the dirt out. She's willing to give up some of those things just so her husband, so she can support her husband in what he feels like God has called their family to do. And it's amazing to me to see that in her and to see the sacrifice that they've made. But I don't know if you know this, but you are a part of their story. Because a couple of people from Mount Helena, when they came down to South America with me, they were really touched by Alex and Lilina and their story. And they've been financially supporting them through you. So they were able to purchase a house so that they don't have to pay rent every month and worry about that. They were able to have money to be able to travel into the tribe. They were able to have money to start. They're able to have some money to start ministries in the community that they're living in the meantime. And they're able to do that because you sacrificed for them. And so it's amazing to me when you think about sacrifice that someone here in Mount Helena sacrificed, several people sacrificed, so for them, and they're making sacrifices, and the kingdom of God is being advanced in a tribe that's never known who God is before. Ever. So you have been part of having an unreached tribe come to know who the Creator is, why He created them, and what He wants to do with their lives. Isn't that cool? So it's not just the Holy Spirit saying you need to go and move to another country and start a church. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit saying you need to give to that ministry, or you need to serve that person, or you need to do that thing. But it's just, He's right there. And all it takes is listening. And it's just so exciting to me. So exciting. So I want that in my life. I want to give it all. I want to give in whatever way He wants me to give. And I know that that's our heart here too at Mount Helena. And so I just want to encourage you to do that, to let it happen, to invite the Holy Spirit in. And if you've never experienced what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or what it means to have the gifts, there's a really cool prayer team. They prayed for me this morning, and they're here today, and they can pray for you. But before all of that, I'm going to want to tell a Bible story. So one of the things that I do with Frontline is I tell Bible stories, or actually craft them and translate them into other languages and record them and work on those kinds of projects. And so I've worked with several different tribes now and several different groups of people creating Bible stories in simple enough language that it can be translated into tribal languages for people who don't have access to the Word of God. Either they don't have a written language and they don't have a written Bible, or they just don't read or write at all and have never really and don't have the desire to read a gigantic book full of hard-to-read words. Or they just are unfamiliar with Christianity, and so the text of the Bible sometimes has some strange ways of phrasing things, and so simplifying it in a way that someone who doesn't know who God is can understand easily in the language that we use. So I have, this year, I was so excited because for the first time I got to go to Colombia. And I had never been there before. And, everybody says it's kind of dangerous. It wasn't. It was fine. I went to Santa Marta, Colombia. It's on the coast. And we held a Bible story training there with pastors and leaders. And one of the reasons I wanted to share about that training with you is because I saw the Holy Spirit at work in them. It reminded me of here, actually, in a lot of ways. Because it's not often when you travel to Central and South America that you find Spirit-filled churches and people who believe fully and are using appropriately the gifts of God, right? Sometimes you'll have prophets and things like that in South America. And for me, it's a little like, you're a prophet? Really? What are you going to tell me? But and you have kind of some funny ways of handling the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But when I was in Colombia, this group of churches that we were working with, they were working and moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And they were so excited and so hungry to learn more about him, but also to learn more about how to connect with those who were unsaved and who had never experienced who God is in their communities. So in Colombia, as is in most South American countries, the religious spirit is very heavy in those countries. It's if you go to church on Sunday, you need to know how to say the appropriate things to the appropriate people and put your Christian like outer thing on. And everybody does it. It's perfectly natural, but it's odd if you've never done that before. And so it's kind of like the South is like that sometimes too. You know, you have to say blessings and I'm so blessed to be here and things like that. Bless her heart, all that. So in Colombia, it's like that. You have to say, like, I've been praying for you, sister. Everybody's brother or sister, everything's a blessing, all of that. And it was really, they're used to preaching. All of the pastors and leaders are used to preaching the word of God. They're used to, this is what you need to do with your life. You must do this. You must do this. This is who God is, da-da-da-da-da, in a preaching kind of way. With very religious language and with a very religious way of doing things. But they don't know that. They don't see the religious spirit. It's not until you're outside of it that you can see it sometimes. And so it was so cool to teach these pastors and leaders how to tell a Bible story and not preach at all, which was very hard for them. And the first time we teach them a two-minute Bible story, right? And they have to get up and share it with the room. And there's always one to two, maybe three, preachers who just, they start their Bible story, they get about halfway, and then they lose it. They start going at it. This is what you need to do. This is what God says. And it's not scripture at all. And so then you have to stop them and you have to be very polite and say, actually, you're not speaking scripture at all. You're going to have to start over and go back and try speaking just the word of God, only the word of God. So it was so cool because these pastors and leaders were really nervous about it at first and kind of like, I don't know. And they struggled a little, but then they hit like a wave, I guess. They hit their stride. And they just fell in love with it. And they started telling each other stories, and they began drawing pictures. And, these are pastors of whole churches. They've got, 300 people in their church or whatever, and they're drawing pictures about stories, and they're excitedly telling each other and talking about how they're going to use it for evangelism. And it just was so cool to see how the Holy Spirit used that, just a change of pace and a change of thinking, to change what they're doing. And since then, we've heard from some of the attendance students from the training that they've continued using it with their youth group, with their youth groups, with evangelizing people, with talking to people about God. It's just so cool. So I wanted to share a Bible story with you this morning because it's something that I really love. And it is the story of the Holy Spirit and how he came and the promise that Jesus gave and what he says that we can do with what the Holy Spirit will give us the power to do. So I want you to listen to the story and listen closely and apply it to your own life. The promises that are given in the story are promises for you and promises for me. They're promises for us. And it says, the scripture says that these signs will follow the believers. That with the Holy Spirit in us, we can do so many things. And all we have to do is listen for his voice. So, I have to get out my drawings because I'm not so sure that I'll remember all of the story. After I finish telling the story, I would like for you, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, you want to know him more, or you just want prayer, that I would encourage you to come and speak with some of our prayer team up here. They all are very familiar with the Holy Spirit, very familiar with how he operates, and they can introduce you, and they can tell you about him, and they can pray for you. So, this is a true story from the Word of God. After Jesus' death, he proved that he was alive by appearing to his followers and teaching them for 40 days. One day while he was teaching them, he said, "I'm going to have to leave soon and go back to my Father in heaven, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I will send God's Spirit to be with you. And he will give you the power to go and tell my story to everyone you meet. You will make followers of me, baptizing them and teaching them to do all of the things that I have taught you. And God's Spirit will give you the power to do the things that I have done. To heal the sick, to cause the lame to walk, to cause the blind to see, set captives free, and even have power over evil spirits. Don't be afraid. I won't leave you alone. I will be with you." Just as Jesus said, one day he did leave, and he was taken up into the clouds, into heaven. His followers were left staring up at the sky, wondering what had happened. When suddenly two angels appeared, and they said, "What are you doing here, staring at the sky? Jesus is going to come back the same way that he left one day." So the followers of Jesus went back to the city to wait for the promise that Jesus had given them about God's Spirit. 7 weeks later, there was a huge religious festival in the city, and people from all over the world were there to celebrate. During the festival, the followers of Jesus were all gathered together in one place. There was about 120 of them. Suddenly, what sounded like a huge rushing wind filled the place where the followers were at, and flames of fire appeared on each one of their heads, above their heads. They began to speak in other languages as God's Spirit gave them the ability. Because of the commotion, a huge crowd gathered, and people from all over the city were there. And they heard God's story being shared in many different languages. And they asked one another, "What is this? Who are these people? They're from here. How is it possible that they're sharing these things in our languages? I can understand them in my heart language." But still some other people in the crowd said, "They're just drunk. It's nothing." One of the followers of Jesus, named Peter, stood up, and he said, "It's only 9 in the morning. They're not drunk. It's God's Spirit that's working in them. Jesus, who you killed, God sent to be our promised Savior. He was killed by the people in this city, but God raised him to life again. God took him back to heaven, and there he is at God's right hand. But he said he would send the Holy Spirit, and he did, and that is what's happening here." The people who are listening said, "Well, what do we do with that? What do we do now?" And Peter said, "Turn from your disobedience, be baptized, and you too can receive the gift of God's Spirit, just as Jesus said." About 3,000 people believed that day and were baptized. And they joined the rest of the followers of Jesus, eating together, worshiping together, and following the teachings of Jesus. And that people were amazed at the miracles that happened among the believers. And every day, more and more people continued to follow Jesus. And they were added to their number. And this is what the followers of Jesus continue to do now, and will continue to do until Jesus returns. It's a true story from the Word of God. So I want to pray real quick. And if you are feeling that urge within you to respond, come forward and get prayer. God, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, for the gift that you promised, and for the fact that you always keep your promises. We are in awe of who you are and in awe of how you want to use us. It's our heart, Father, that we learn more about your Holy Spirit and that we grow in relationship with him as a person and not a power. And God, we want to grow and to move and to be active in advancing your kingdom and in making your name known in the whole earth. So God, we ask you and your Holy Spirit to come and speak to our hearts, to encourage us, to give us hope and joy in what it means to sacrifice for you and what it means to give into your kingdom of our time, of our resources, of our heart. And God, we thank you that we can be gathered together in a church and in a family of believers that believes in your Holy Spirit, that believes in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit and in your power. We thank you, God. Amen.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app, available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.